Elevate Visual is a proud sponsor of the Dirt Podcast. Let Elevate Visual help you with your next videography project, including licensed drone services, real estate video tours, business promotional videos and advertisements, and much more. Give Brandon a call today at 320-491-4418.
Running, maybe limping.
Dirt Podcast episode 28 of season 2 is up and running. Dan, what the I did one last week, right? What in the world have you been up to?
Let's see, what have I been up to? Working.
I suppose people got to do that.
Trying to you know, it's getting that time of year again. It's almost time for Operation Assassinate Mossy Horns Volume 2023. Deer hunting's rolling here in 2.5 weeks. So I've been spending some time up north trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Still trying to get that 30-pointer, huh?
No, I don't want a 30-pointer.
Why not?
Because they look that.
We could mount that baby right in.
Yeah, but those right racks look dumb. Looks like a brush pile grown out of a deer's head. I'd rather have a 12 that's just massive. They live where I'm hunting.
Yeah.
Both my cousins shot Boone and Crockett bucks up out of there. They're up there.
Did you watch any racing last weekend?
Let me think about that. No.
Nothing?
None.
Zero.
No, I was up in Walker.
It still means you can't be prepared to watch a little racing.
Let's see, what was I doing?
Well, for your defense, there wasn't much last week.
No, there wasn't.
World Out Sprint Car Show and USMTS was basically about it. Well, the Hunt the Front had some action. Did you see the action with Hunt the Front with your boy Turbo?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, boy. We'll have to talk about that. Anyway, we're going to...
I was up north. There's like zero internet service 80% of the places that I go up there. So getting the old video stream is not an easy thing to do.
Lodge doesn't have internet?
Where?
Your cabin or lodge or whatever you got.
Yeah,
up there?
It's sketchy. I don't have much bandwidth. Like, my dad's got the Verizon box and we run a stick on his TV.
Yeah.
And it works. Where he's at, it works good. He's up on top of the hill. My camper's down, it's below the hill. And whether I got video streamed down there is hit or miss.
Slim.
There's not a lot of, there just isn't a lot of bandwidth up there.
Right, right.
There's not a lot of people up there, and that's why I like it up there.
Right.
Idiot population's much less just because there's not as many people.
So anyway, getting into the racing scene, the racing world. Bunch of stuff coming up this weekend. We still have, sorry, Hot Topic still out there, Dan.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Rumor on the street. I don't know if it's a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's 100% fact. Is that the words we're looking for? Do we use facts on
we
this
do.
Show?
We use blunt, unadulterated facts on this show, and this is why so many people get pissed off at us, because we don't sugarcoat things.
So, rumor on the street is, and I'll ask you the question once I get done, rumor on the street is that FYE Motorsports is still holding Red Cedar to their contract agreement about having to pay off Mr. Chris Steppen for the whole Can-Am Punky Manor deal that everything got rained out and nobody raced. So, my question to you is, if you're Red Cedar Speedway, are you still paying FYE Motorsports?
I think you know the answer to that, because I would have gave them the big F you the minute that they came up with the idea to begin with. It would have never got off the ground.
So we've heard multiple figures. There's a comma in there, in the figure.
Well, of course there's a comma.
So
shakedown we're talking about.
So nobody raced. The Can-Am canceled, which
weather.
They would have been super hit and miss anyway.
They weren't racing.
Obviously... The Punky was going to race, but completely washed out last week, and it was rain nonstop.
Right.
So I don't know. Obviously, the FYE yeah, I'm canceling because of you guys. I want to work with you. And then turns around and tells Red Cedar, you have to pay for my damages, basically, is what he's getting paid for. So I don't know. They haven't paid it yet.
Here's what I know.
They don't know what they're going to do yet.
I know this. I know this, and you know this. And everybody that's paying attention knows this. Chris Steppen and Don Shaw are the same guy. They want everybody to bend over backwards to help them, but they look to screw everybody they can whenever they get an opportunity. It's what's been going on forever. And then Don goes to the meeting and cries that, oh, my fellow neighboring tracks don't want to work with me. Of course not, because it's a one-way street for your benefit. It's no different with Chris Steppen. None. Chris Steppen, is he a good promoter? 100%. Does he put on big shows? Certainly does. Is he a guy you want to really work with?
Right.
You better know what you're getting into when you get into it, or you're going to be in for a hell of a surprise. Here's my issue. I'm not going to tell people how to do business. You can do it ethically or unethically. It's your choice. It happens every day. That's why there's upstanding business people and there's crooks. There's two sides of the fence, right? My problem is with WSOTA. You're paying this guy. He's on your payroll. He directs a challenge series, right? Mm-hmm. He is a paid employee. And he's also running a private entity that you're granting licensing to promote events in your area at your tracks. Okay, you're sanctioning his shows. At the same time this is all going on, he's shaking down another neighboring track that tried to reschedule the show, okay? He's putting the leverage to him hard. How can the WSOTA Board of Directors, Executive Director, everybody involved in the situation, how can they sit in that office and not say, wow, there's a glaring conflict of interest here? We need to make a decision. We're either going to allow him to be our employee or we're going to allow him to sanction events, but we're not going to allow him to do both because he's using us as leverage in the whole deal.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the most glaring conflict that I've seen. This is the most glaring conflict that I've seen in auto racing that I've personally witnessed. There's probably more, okay? And there's probably worse ones. Down south, there's some shady characters, but we're not on top of that game. So it's probably happening. But it's happening right in front of everybody's eyes, right here, right now. And the fact that the fellow promoters that are supposed to be in this game with Red Cedar Speedway, I mean, every promoter is an owner of the association, right?
Correct.
Why are people not up in arms about this? I mean, WSOTA should be getting so many emails from pissed off promoters and pissed off people that they should have had to create three more accounts by now because they'd have blown the first two up.
Yeah.
It's just not everything about it stinks.
So we'll see what plays out. I don't know if Red Cedar's gonna pay it. If they're not gonna pay it,
I wouldn't pay them shit.
Kind of sounds like their board's leaning both directions. Who knows? We'll see what pans out with that. But yeah, it's rough.
Well, any board member that thinks that they should pay this should probably resign from the board. Because you and I both know how much meat there is on the bone at the end of the day in these operations. And board-run operations are really tough because you don't just have a proprietor that can make a decision. Everything's got to go through this board vote bullshit, and a lot of times it's not efficient. They don't have a ton of money. I know they don't have a ton of money. No, that's why they do this fundraiser. That's why they do it.
Right, right.
Because they need it to keep rolling. And we certainly know that the county hasn't been very nice to him with all the COVID bullshit that they put him through and everything else. I mean, that was well publicized. This place is just trying to get off the mat. They're trying to maintain relevancy. They're trying to maintain their business. You don't give this guy one red cent. Just my opinion. But if you're a good business person, when you don't have extra dollars, you sure as hell can't throw them away. If you want to do a trade out with him and say, oh, here, I'll tell you what, we'll put an extra event on our calendar next year and you can come and run a race here. If you want to do that, be my guest. That's free enterprise, right? You gave him an opportunity to make some money. But as far as just shaking the guy, just paying him, you don't do that because there's too much risk in this business model to just pay people.
And everything we've heard, Red Cedar did everything correct. They went to WSOTA, they asked them, got permission to run the race, and then this happened. So whatever, it is what it is. So it's
there's just a whole bunch of incompetency all the way around this whole situation. And at the end of the day, that's probably the root of the problem. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if people were just 100% competent about what they were doing, you probably wouldn't have a lot of this.
Right.
Chris Steppen's 100% competent about what he's doing. That's why he's trying to shake him down.
Right.
He's trying to use every leverage he can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, other than that, there's not a whole lot. WSOTA season's done. Basically, the only local show left is the Topless Nationals at Ogilvie, which, I mean, it's kind of the point now, especially in the WSOTA scene. I don't, like, who really, does anybody really care? Does anybody really...
What's gonna make that event good is the weather looks good this weekend.
Is it too strung out? Is there too much going on? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just once you kind of get down to the point, you know, you get past the 100, and there's a couple specials after that. And then everything else rained out last weekend. You know, they did get the Fall Classic in a couple weeks ago, but
you can solve this problem easy. Just cancel and end points the 100 and let everything be a free for all after that. You'd see the schedule look a lot different, I'll guarantee you that.
Turn it into a... Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I know we'll see what happens with the points, what they're going to do. I know it's on the... I know people have been talking about it, and in points at national... You know, at the WSOTA 100, points are done. Still get your... I mean, cripes, you still get four shows at the WSOTA 100. I don't know how much
which
you
is
need
dumb.
Over there.
That's dumb, too. So, it shouldn't be four shows.
Who knows what's going to pan out, but the Topless Nationals are down at Ogilvie this weekend. That is basically about it. Bunch of stuff on the national scene. Obviously, a super huge weekend.
Just hang on with that.
Hang on with what?
Hang on with the national scene. Let's stick on this WSOTA stuff. So you brought up...
There's nothing else to talk about.
No, there is. There is.
What? What?
There is.
We already talked about the national
champions.
We
got to talk about this points deal. You were segueing into something that's going on here right now.
With the national points deal?
Yes.
Dan.
Love the guy or hate the guy?
He's clicking on his phone over there.
Yeah, love the guy or hate the guy. James Trantina is very in tune with what's going on. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, absolutely.
Okay. He's in the game. You can love him, you can hate him, you can agree with him or disagree with him on things that he does or what, but you cannot question whether or not the guy is in tune with what's going on. And he wants to make things better, okay? Now, sometimes I think he's maybe a little bit of a ready, shoot, aim guy. He goes a little crazy with some things once in a while, but he's always trying to be proactive. So he, you know, it's... The meeting's coming up here, what, in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
They always do it during deer season, so the people with brains can't go because they're out in the woods. he put all these surveys up on his Granite City Motor Park website,
yeah,
or on his Facebook page to get people's input on rule changes,
yep,
things that have been hot-button topics. What do you think about these things, Jeff? He's got a crate engine for the Supers. I'm dead no on that. No. That you just don't do that.
No.
There is some things on here that make some sense, though. A Duratec engine for the Mod 4s.
Yeah, well, the big thing is there, they had, who was running it last year? Did they have two guys with it?
I think they had two pilot cars.
Was Pagonis
there,
and someone was?
Maybe.
You know, but the flip side is, everybody I've talked to, I've heard Halls, all these people building these engines, mm-hmm, them parts are almost impossible to find. I've heard Mod 4 guys waiting year to get parts for them. What, they still run the 2300 Fords?
Yep.
That's the big issue there. And then they're getting super expensive.
Oh.
So obviously.
So it sounds good on paper, but it's supply.
I don't know
is
how you could
deal.
Put Ford and expensive in the same sentence. I don't know how that works. it just doesn't. I don't know. You're Brandon and. We're the cool guys over here, got the Chevys, but Dan's a Ford guy.
The only reason you guys are running Chevys is because they're cheaper.
So that's what I had heard, and it sounds like it's some sort of What was that engine called?
Duratec.
Yeah, it's some sort of basically like a crate, four-cylinder engine kind of deal. And
yeah,
they've been able to compete. They've been doing some testing and some tuning on it. You know, but it also comes down to the topic. Mod 4s have been a hot topic conversation. What are we going to do with the class? You know, so...
Well, the class got destroyed in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a really, really, really good class. And then the square tube header game came in, and then the motors got out of control where you had to go spend $4,500 or $5,000 on an engine header package to make the thing so you could compete. And they did the same exact thing with the Mod 4s as they did with the B Mods.
So do you... the question should be, okay, so obviously they're doing this engine package to save the class, correct? Right. Okay. The question should be, what are we going to do with the Mod 4s? Do we keep them? Or are they done? Are they obsolete? You know, the big issue with the Mod 4 is there's barely anything other than your safety equipment that you can use to move on to a different class.
100%.
There's nothing you can use. So it comes into that deal where you're going to be able to sell your stuff. You're not. I mean, it's a tough deal right now. They have the loyal followers.
The problem is there's less of them all the time.
It sounds like Baden may be going to a different class. I don't know. It's just
and now, rumor
out there.
And so if he's doing that, and he's got a lot of money in his shit, because all the fast guys always do, right?
Well, absolutely, 100%.
How are you gonna recoup hardly any of that? And now none of your stuff transfers over? It's like basically a new startup. It's
rough. What else did he have on there?
Quick change rear ends for super stocks.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Here's the deal. And the people are whining up there. The people whining up there are all about themselves. They're not about the best for the class,
right?
The best for the racer, the best for the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They're selfish, and all they do is worry about their track. They've never promoted a track. They haven't owned a car or promoted a track at the same time. It's time. It's just time.
100% agree with you.
Just get them in there. Oh, everybody's worried about, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, you know what? You can still run your offset third link, and we don't have to run on top. We can still put that over onto the right. Just put a J-bar in the thing. It's not that difficult. It's the same thing as a Panhard bar.
100%.
Same thing. All you're doing is it's keeping your rear end from sliding left to right.
Exactly.
And then you can still put rake in it if you want to jack it up. You're still doing the same thing. It's all you're doing is with your roll center in your rear end and dealing with it. It's the same thing. So it doesn't – I mean, there was some old – I remember some of the old J-Car modifieds used to run just a straight Panhard bar. Mm-hmm. They were fast.
Yep.
So – they were just a little bit more convenient with the J bar, and I'm sure they figured out some sort of advantage. But
quick changes in street stocks,
I don't think yet. I think you have to have a phase out period here with these 9.
I think you're right, because you know what, there could be some good value for street stock guys being able to get their hands on used 9-inch stuff from super guys. Yeah. I mean, the front running guys aren't going to do it, but there's a lot of startup guys that want to get into the class that are going to be able to buy some stuff for pretty cheap. Yeah.
And if they get hopefully that tranny rule goes into effect for the street stocks this year.
That has to go into effect.
The open transmission, it has to. I don't think the street stocks are quite ready for that yet.
Here's the one. This is a controversial one. And this has nothing to do with performance. This is a safety deal. Window nets, should they be optional in classes? And if you don't run one, you must have to run arm restraints?
Yeah, here...
I got a pretty strong stance on this that I want to hear what you have to say first.
Here's about the last couple months, I've seen multiple crashes, multiple rollovers where the guy's window net got stuck. And they're cutting window nets to get these people out of the car. That's 100% wrong. The problem we had when we ran the arm restraints, people used and abused the system. They were putting them on and they weren't tightening them up. They weren't keeping them in. Catch my drift?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I get that. They do make a breakaway window net where it actually collapses in the middle and you got some stuff you can move. I've had it happen too. I rolled one time and my roof came down and then I had to crawl out the other side of my car. Well, if you're trapped in your car, you ain't getting out. So it's a super, super tough one. I want to see some more facts of why we run them, They're obviously to keep your arms in the car. Like I said, the arm restraint deal is people use and abuse them. They weren't doing it.
Right.
You know, these guys had their hands out the window. You know, you still see those late model guys. They come by the finish line, their arms out the window. Well, hold on here a sec. If you got arm restraints on, you shouldn't be able to stick your arm up above your roof of your car.
Correct.
So, that's where I'm at on it. I definitely, from a safety standpoint, mud, rocks, stuff coming through your window, that does help. I like the idea when they brought the windows nets back into place. We just have to make sure that we're mounting them correct. I think they need to go away from the slide. I talked to a lot of people, you got to go to the buckle.
The buckle was always the best.
Have it buckled. Like my dad Chevelle had it, was
buckled. The old GM belt buckle,
yes.
C-belt buckle was what everybody had.
Right.
And it worked.
And then you can have, you actually had a quick release deal on that thing too. So where it was getting off no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did roll. So it's you know, I don't know. People aren't going to comment on there. I've saw some of the dumb comments. And it has nothing to do with what a safety, you know what I mean? What a window net is supposed to do.
So this is my view. And my view is maybe a little bit different than yours because of one thing. What's the number one thing that you never want to see happen in a wreck on a racetrack? Fire,
yes.
And if you got a fire and this window net is in place and it's jarred, you just subjected somebody to a much worse situation than they had if there wasn't a window net.
Mm-hmm. Oh, correct. Yep.
I don't ever get worried about wrecks ever. I mean, I've seen guys hit the wall at 80 miles an hour. The safety equipment in these cars, especially today, is second to none. Guys typically just don't get hurt in wrecks. Okay. They'll be sore and they might feel it for a week or two, or they could get their bell rung, but you're not going to, for the most part, you just don't see life-threatening injuries come out of race cars much anymore, with the exception of sprint cars. Sprint cars are a different animal. They're just, that's why fly by the seat of your pants. Those can get very dangerous. Any situation that I see that could help a driver escape a fire faster, I'm on board with.
No, 100%.
And that's my reasoning why I think they should ditch the window nets and they should just go to arm restraints. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's harder to police. It definitely is.
Right.
Making sure they're being used right.
Well, and so here's the thing, though. It goes down to the driver being responsible for themselves. It's like you.
You want to do something dumb.
You wore a neck roll for how many years?
Right.
And now you got a hybrid head and neck restraint.
Yep.
These guys have got to take it upon themselves to make sure that they're taking care of themselves. And the thing that I like about the arm restraint thing, it's not an expensive thing to do.
No.
It's not.
No. You can get the arm restraints sewn right into your suit when you buy them, or else just buy the cups.
Right.
I just had the Simpson cups a few years ago, and they loop right into your seat belts.
Yeah.
And then they just adjust, so you can tighten them
right
to wherever you want them. So they are slick, and if you use them the right way. So
right.
Yeah, no, it's a topic. Like I said, you see a wreck and you see something and you see the guy can't get his window net down. That's 100% wrong. So, you know, the cup guys run them, late model guys don't. But they also, a few years ago, moved the late model guys and they moved their seat over a few inches to get them away from that driver's side. And they did with the cup cars too.
Well, they did all that when the XR1s came out and they were more of a center.
Yeah. Well, then after that, what's his face? We died at Eldora. With that freak accident.
Yeah. So. Well, then they put that extra bar in there too now.
To keep your helmet and stuff like that. But then all those guys got the high dollar seats now, stuff too. What else is on there?
Should roller rockers be allowed in all classes that currently do not allow them?
So I've heard multiple. Here's the thing. If you're going to go to roller rockers, you got to change a bunch of stuff in your valve train, valves, heads, and stuff, I've heard. So you're going to end up costing more money.
Why? What do you have to change?
I'm just talking to engine builders.
Okay.
You just can't slap a roller rocker on a EQ street stock head. Can't do it.
Okay.
There's supposedly, if you don't have something with the valves, with the ends of the valves, they're breaking or tip, whatever. Okay. They make a roller tip rocker. Something needs to be done.
That's what everybody wants, the roller tip rocker.
The big thing is Wasoto's going to spec it. Okay. So everybody had to get them through Speedway, which is wrong.
That's wrong.
The problem is they didn't have enough inventory to get everybody parts.
If you pick three part numbers from three different manufacturers and say these are the ones that are legal and don't do your spec bullshit.
They were still looking at not having enough product out there doing that.
But here's the reality. Not everybody's going to buy them right away. You're not going to have everybody buy them right away. There's guys out there that have never broken a rocker arm.
Yeah, there it is.
So they're all, those guys aren't going to, they're not going to go spend $250 on a new set of rockers when they've never broke one.
Nope.
But there's a lot of guys that have broken a lot of them. And I know you broke a lot of them. And I know Justin Vogel's broke a lot of them. And there's a lot of guys that have broke a lot of them. They are the rocker arm is the part in that engine that is the cheapest to upgrade, but can cause the most amount of destruction.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
It is. And I broke one in my streeter the year I ran that, and I was 56 or 50 some shows I ever ran.
Mm-hmm. But you had one year in your super, you were snapping them things all the time.
Yeah, we did. Well, we ended up figuring out why that was, and ended up being our own fault. So that lot has to play into that too. There's a lot that goes into valve. Now with my Breescoat motors, I haven't busted one in 3 years. So there's a lot to do with parts, pushrod length, valve train, your geometry. There's a lot that goes into it, your valve spring pressure, all that good stuff. And how these streets, how Vogel's breaking that many running 6,200 RPM is beyond me. Okay? He's got something completely screwed up in that thing. Completely screwed up. I haven't heard any other streeters. And when the year I ran a streeter, you always hear stuff. Bailey Roche went through it a couple years ago, and his ended up being just a valve geometry deal. Once they got it figured out, it was good. So I don't know what's going on there. Something needs to be done, obviously. We're at this day and age with the parts and the technology and the durability. We just have to make sure we do the right thing so you're not, at the end of the day. They were talking about, you might have to run a different camshaft if you're changing rockers, geometry, and getting everything figured out.
Doesn't make any sense.
So
if you got the same geometry with a roller tip, everything should be the same. That's the thing.
Well, the roller tip's going to solve that. I've seen them break too. A lot of them break where the ball is too, where you're bolting it down, which that's rare. If those are break, that's a faulty part number.
Yeah, but these are billet aluminum. These things last a long time.
You would think.
And you can buy a set of them for $250 to $270 in Speedway.
It's going to be interesting to see at the meetings to see if they've. I'm sure they've done their homework, and there's multiple engine builders commenting on stuff too. So there's people out there knows what's going on.
So here's an interesting one. Should Wasoto ban grooving tires in all classes to make less work for all and equal the playing field?
No. I don't get.
I agree.
Why is grooving a tire equaling the playing field?
It's not. Grooving a tire is making a tire last longer. It's cutting costs down. You want to trade time for money or not? I will every day.
Right. I mean, it's the grooving, that's only helping racers, and it's helping people stay in racing. Oh, I can buy a tire, now I can groove it and get some more life out of it. So, I've seen both ways. I've seen guys groove tires and win. I've seen guys put hours and hours and hours into their tires, and they're still a 10th place car. I've seen guys just bolt on new ones that are siped and win. I've seen guys win with non-siped tires. You know what I mean? I don't. Is it a game? Yes. It'd be a completely different story if we had a really, really nice, good tire.
I've seen some comments on here that want to see three compounds come back.
Yeah.
Because they're sick of running against traded tires.
Exactly.
Here's a better idea yet. Go to three compounds and frickin' put Daytona 1 on them. You get three compounds and run Daytona 1 blue so your shit actually lasts and doesn't glaze up. And
right, right.
I mean, but here's the deal. The Hoosier Mafia will never allow that to happen. And in order to have three compounds and for it to be good like it used to be, you got to get the quality back to where it used to be.
That's why it's not. That's not going to happen.
No. No.
That's why Hoosier and nobody loves it.
I think if you went back to three compounds, you'd have better racing.
You'd have way better racing.
Way better.
That'd be legit.
Let's see here. What else we got? Carbon fiber drive shafts, an option in all classes. I'm going to say yes for one reason. I'll guarantee you that frickin' drive shaft is less expensive than your insurance deductible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a safety thing. And there's guys out there that say, no, it's a performance advantage. If it is, it's so unbelievably small.
Super
small. It's this small shaft rotating. We're not talking about 88 pounds of rotating weight that's got a 7-inch diameter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small deal. I think they should absolutely allow it. Do they cost more? 100%. Do you eliminate injuries? 100%. And especially for spectators. You have these drive shafts come flying out. One of them damn things decides to take catapult over the safety fence. Now the racetrack's got a serious problem on their hands.
Yeah. Well, I mean, carbon, you can still spit a carbon fiber drive shaft. I've seen that.
Well, you can do it, but it's got an aluminum end on it.
And their aluminum end's still flying out.
They don't
out,
weigh nothing.
You know what I mean? It is what it is.
It's not going to take anybody's head off.
They should be allowed. Just get to it. Who cares? You know, it's especially... They're mainly more late model mod stuff anyway because they're so short in the Midwest mods. Once you get to the problem is actually, like I told you before, when I was down at QA1, we actually looked at doing one for my Super, and it actually was a negative effect on it because it's so long. You're actually, the carbon fiber is not going to be any stronger than a steel one.
Right.
And you're not saying there's no advantage there. So, and I wasn't going to put an $800.
And they're expensive because there's so much more material.
Oh, they're over $800.
Yeah.
They're damn near $1,000 because they're that much longer. So then it's not, and this day and age with fast shafts and all these drive shaft companies, you get a, if you got everything set up and you go get a fast shaft for $250-$300,
yep,
and they're super nice, they're balanced, you know what I mean? They dyno them all. It's all that good stuff. So, but just get to the point. Say yes.
Here, allowed okay. So we already talked about the Burt transmission deal. Everybody figures that they should just be in every race car. Here's the interesting one that's got a little. This is a contentious deal. Should Basota go back to heat race points to make the heat races mean something again? Your thoughts?
Yes. Here's why I was back. So I pulled up national points in the super stocks for the last. It goes back on MRP. It goes back to 2017. Okay. 2017 was the last year of the old format. Okay. And obviously it was way different. The point structure was way different. It was 57, 56, 55, 54, 53. It was different. So the one, 2017, I don't know if I got 7th or 8th. I can't remember what it was. But I had 9 wins, and I was going through. I only had like 38 shows, and I was going through. I got 8th, and I was going through. I'm like, freaking, I beat Nick Oreskovich and Dexon Cook by 1 point to get 10th. Okay. You look at them points now. It's a complete joke. You look,
correct.
You're like 348 points out of first place. Hold on here a sec. So then I started looking at my shows, and I'm going through, and I'm like, God, 55, 56. And I'm like, I clicked on it. Well, I got 3rd in the feature, but I won my heat.
Right.
And then I looked at the shows when I won my feature. Well, I didn't win my heat, and it freaking killed you.
Clean sweeps mean a lot.
A lot. The issue, it really puts drawing back into the equation. And there's been a lot of heat taking off tracks rigging the draw.
Right.
Okay. Because there's no heat points anymore. Basically, all you need to do is qualify and transfer. So that was an issue. I don't think that it just is what it is. People are going to, you know how it is. You know how drivers are. We went through it at Viking. You go through it at I-94. Draws rigged.
Right.
Well, it is.
People that know absolutely nothing about what goes into a draw, they don't say it's they rigged. Don't.
So it does bring that back into place, which I think is a minor detail. But I do believe we need to get the heat points back. It's going to make heats much more exciting. The fans know that the guys have to race. I've talked to lots and lots of drivers. Said they get into a transfer spot.
Yep. And they shut her down.
That's not fair to anybody. And especially not fair to the paying customer.
And you know what else? In the stands. You know what else it does? It creates a no drama environment at the Wissota 100 because almost all the points battles are settled.
Right.
When you bring heat points into the game, it's a big deal.
Yep.
Big deal.
So, yeah, they should – they'll probably – I don't know.
I'd like to see it go a step further, honestly. If you want – if you really want integrity of competition, I'd really like to see it go not only heat points,
you need
but
to
draw,
get,
redraw.
You need to get that back, and then you need to revamp your show point car count, how many points you're getting for shows.
Draw, redraw.
It's whatever. I mean,
you shouldn't be penalized every single night because you're fast and have to start in the fourth, fifth row.
No,
I understand that nobody wants to see the fast cars start up front every night. I understand that.
Nobody does.
But the fact of the matter is if you're a fast guy and you win your heat race, you should have an opportunity to start in the front row.
Now you sound like Davenport.
No, but you should have the opportunity.
I want to start.
I'm not saying you should be given it.
I want to win qualifying.
I'm not saying like
I want to
Lucas.
Start on the pole. I want to start here.
But
you
I'm not,
sound like Davenport.
I'm not
now.
Saying it like that, Jeff. I'm not saying if you get fast time and you start on the pin in your heat race, you're automatically on the pole.
Right.
Because I'm not. But you should have the opportunity. You shouldn't be marred in the fourth or fifth row.
Yeah, it's a.
And I know the freaking story. Well. It creates a better race. And,
no.
And then somebody else says, well, just think of the guy that never has a chance. It might be his only chance he ever gets to win if he has a good heat race. We're not about this. There is no freaking participation medals in this shit.
At the end of the day, the draw, by the end of the year, you're probably going to, after if you make all the features and your redraw position's probably going to be about four and a half anyway.
Right.
It just sucks as a driver when you know going into the night that Matt Miller, Jeff Krause, and Trevor Sauer all have about the same point average. It just sucks when you do a draw redraw and I get eighth and Sauer and Miller are on the front row. You know what I mean? And now I get it.
And it goes the other way, though, too.
It does go the other way. But my big thing is the fans. They don't want to see him start up front. And it makes them you look at the mod features in at Viking this year, there weren't very many people that won from the front row.
No.
Only ever time was if there was a draw-redraw and Dusty or Gertis, you know, during the moonshine or whatever, started on the front row and then they won. You know what I mean? So it's a tough, I don't know.
Well, there's another part of this too.
But if you look at car counts since they've done the point average, what's happened?
Well, car counts are down everywhere now.
The one thing, you know what they need to get rid of? You know what they need to get rid of? They need to get rid of the, if you're a first-time car at any track, you need to be able to start 1 through 8 if you qualify. Not this 5 through 8 BS. Now you just prohibited people from traveling. So if I say, hey, I want to go to Montevideo, I haven't been there, and I go there in July, okay, and it's just a regular night, the best I can start is 5th.
But
why is that
but
fair?
But here's the deal.
Why is that fair?
But see, if you get rid of the point average and go to draw redraw, that's out the window.
Well, for sure.
See? So, there's benefits to this. Okay, there's benefits to both sides of it. But I want to see more integrity in the system. And when you put more integrity, everybody needs to have, if you qualify through your heat race, everyone needs to have an opportunity to start in the front row. I'm not saying that you're guaranteed there. And you know what? You might be a shitty, get a shitty draw, and you might start in the fourth or fifth row like you are at point average. Okay? But you shouldn't be penalized for it. And I understand, oh, the fans want to see the guys in the back. Well, you know what else the fans want to see? The fans like seeing three fast guys start in the middle of that deal and one guy in the front and one of the guys in the middle run the guy in the front down.
Yeah, which you don't – the problem is you don't – specials, you're going to get that. You're just not a local event. The guys that can win is a lot.
And you're going to have less carnage too because you're not going to have guys that got lucky and got fourth place starting on the pin that normally don't even qualify through their heat.
That does happen, but it is what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not – I mean, every sanctioning body out there is a point average. USRA and IMCA is.
USRA is point average?
Yes. The national scene.
UMP's draw, redraw.
UMP's not, but UMP also does qualifying.
Right.
So they're a little bit different. You get to watch 6 hours of qualifying at every
that, night. And I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I like the World of Outlaw late model format, the way that they do it with their redraw. I like that.
100%.
The top two guys, the top guys, the winners get to redraw 1 through 4. The second place guys draw 5 through 8. So you're not.
If there's three heats, they do 1 through 6.
Right.
Yeah. So the top two.
No, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's, that's why Davenport doesn't go run that show every once in a while. I won my heat. I won everything. I want to start on the pin.
Well,
but Lucas, then they penalize you for what heat you're in.
Absolutely, they do.
That's wrong, too.
Yep. Lucas's format's the worst. That it is the worst. Nobody's going to change my mind about that.
The big thing they have to do with WSOTA is whatever they do, you have to make sure it's promoting traveling, supporting the drivers, and getting car counts up. Whatever you're doing. Make sense?
Do you want it to support traveling, though? I look at it as I want
you have to this day and age because there's not that many cars out there.
I want their rules to promote cost effectiveness so more people get back in the game. I mean, every racetrack's stronger if there's more race cars in your local area, correct? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. We got no organic growth. That's the issue.
Well, if you bring back and then you have to get these track championships back down to where they need to be.
Track championships need to be where all the money goes, and the freaking national championship should be a 6-foot trophy. That's it.
And a case of Sundrop?
Yeah, 6-foot trophy and a case of Sundrop. Seriously. Because if you want the sanctioning body to get stronger, you have to keep the tracks strong. And the only way you do that is by having more money in local point funds so guys stick around and race weekly. That's the deal. There shouldn't be an incentive to go run 150 miles away from home on a Friday night.
Was there any? Who else was it? Was the only one that ever put surveys out there? Was
Cheyenne? Yeah, that were the Trantina's like the only one that gives a shit enough.
And Cheyenne River.
Yeah, he did some other stuff too.
But his wasn't. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of topics on there. We'll see what happens here next month and what goes down with that.
So let's talk about this weekend.
Well, it's a pretty big weekend for four drivers.
Anytime anybody rolls into Eldora, it's a big weekend.
I'm giving you so you have Ricky Thornton Jr., who had a monster point lead, no longer has a monster point lead.
Correct.
Hudson O'Neill. Devin Moran and Devin Moran. Those are the top four guys. They're going to duke it out. Obviously, they're all in the show because it's a Lucas show, so there's provisionals. And they are going to – whoever finishes the highest is going to win the championship. So from a fan standpoint, it's awesome. You get to sit there and
– it's going to sell a shitload of tickets.
It's going to. And the flip side is now you're going to throw some – I made my pick last night. Didn't take. I pick who's going to win the title. But then I got someone else winning the show. Not one of the four. And it's not the 32 car. Who you're probably going to take. So
no,
you're not either.
Nope.
So it's going to be cool. Good format. 100,000 to win the race on Saturday, and then the point champion will be crowned, and that's a $200,000 point title. It still is $100,000 for fourth, so it's pretty cool payday there. Obviously, the place is going to be packed. It's going to be a big event. Sounds like there's going to be a bunch of cars. The only donkey award of the week is them numbskulls over in Pennsylvania scheduled a show.
Where?
A super late model show.
Where?
We talked about it last night. I had no idea it was going on. Somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Well, nobody that's going to contend is going to go to Pennsylvania anyway. So
no, it's going to be like Cosner and Satterley and all those guys are staying over in.
Satterley's going to go to Eldora, no, ain't he?
He's going to this. He's going to actually just had.
Satterley's good at Eldora.
He is. He's going to Bedford Speedway. Is running the 19th and 20th. Scheduled a super late model race.
Yeah, that's a donkey award.
Does that make any sense to you?
None.
Any sense to you whatsoever?
Just as much sense as that track in Indiana that was racing the same weekend as the USA Nationals for how many years?
Yeah, exactly.
Dumb. So who you got?
Dale McDowell.
You taking the old Mac Daddy?
I'm taking McDowell to win the feature and then Hudson O'Neill to win the championship. Who do you got? Let's go, Dan. Who's winning the race? Are you taking your boy, Blomqvist? Scott Blomqvist, are you going to play?
No, Scott Blomqvist is going to qualify quick time. Then he's going to get tangled up with a pit lizard and be late to the grid for the heat race.
So I told Aho from our little sister station up there at the one to go.
Yeah.
We're going to do, were you in the text thread? We were talking about Blomqvist bingo?
No. I don't remember.
We're starting a Blomqvist bingo card.
Okay.
All the things that can happen to Scott Blomqvist at Eldora this weekend. And I said, we need to have a competition.
Right.
We need to do something. Someone picks out what happens to mm-hmm. him. You're going to get a free t-shirt or apparel or something. So, I mean, we had, well, that year, the pit lizard went on there. You know, his window net falling down. Quick time, late for staging.
Yep.
Car breaking down on the parade lap. You know what?
Forgot to tighten the right rear tire.
Didn't they close the gate on him last year and he couldn't get across?
Yeah.
There's going to be a whole bunch. Light at the scales. Holler breaks down on the way to the track. You know what I mean? There's going to be something. So we're going to make a list on the One to Go show. We'll post it on the Dirt Podcast page too. We're going to have a competition. We're going to play Scott Blomqvist Bingo.
Scott Blomqvist Bingo.
At Eldora this weekend. So that should be cool. And it's obviously, anytime you get Bloomer back in a car, especially back at Eldora, it's who knows?
I'm not saying this is going to happen and this is not my pick. What happens if Scott Blomqvist wins the freaking race? Could you imagine? Dude, they'd have to call the freaking Ohio State Patrol to Eldora, and they would be there till Wednesday.
Yeah, well, he'd be at the casino.
Well, I know, but everybody else would still be freaking partying till Wednesday.
I forgot. Abducted by aliens. Yeah. That could happen.
Yep.
Well, who are you taking? Who's your pick? Who are you picking to win the show?
Should have won the million last year, and he let it get away.
Who?
Devin Moran.
So he's winning the championship.
He's winning the whole works.
He's winning the
whole
works.
He's leaving town with $300,000.
Question for you. If you're Ricky Thornton Jr. right now,
mm-hmm.
and you don't win the championship, okay, are you losing your freaking mind?
I don't think you can because you knew what the parameters were getting into it. It's not like they sprung this on him. After the season started.
Well, they 100%.
Everybody knew it.
The owners voted on to do this.
Everybody knew what they were getting into. So there was nothing shady about anything going on.
So if Pierce punts him for the checkered, coming to the, which could happen.
Well,
there's going to be a brawl. I'm telling you.
No,
right,
100% there will be. And that's what everybody wants.
There's going to be a brawl.
Yeah.
Bob
and
Pierce.
And a good brawl.
Bob Pierce and somebody from Thornton Crew are going to be full-fledged duking her out at Eldora.
My suggestion would be, if you have, wives or children, you probably want to keep them out of the pits during that race.
Dan, it's good, clean family
fun. No, it's clean family fun until the people that don't want to be involved in the scrum end up involved in the scrum. If that happens, Bobby Pierce has got the advantage, though, because he's got his sister in his corner.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there's a whole bunch of monkey, you know, Pierce is going to be fast there. McDowell's going to be fast. Overton and McCready are out for blood right now because they're not happy with what happened. They're going to be fast there. Plus, you got your four. Plus, anybody else that's going to race there. Now you throw Blomqvist in the mix. This is it's a big, huge weekend for dirt late model racing.
There's a lot of possibilities coming out of this race. Somebody's going to go home with some severely hurt feelings.
We played the game trying to play out scenarios on the One to Go show last night, and I said here's what's going to happen. I said one of those four drivers is going to take a provisional to get in the show, and they're going to win the title. That's what I had said. There's so many scenarios that you could play out here. You know, like I said.
So what's the format? Provisionals are 22 through 26?
I don't know. I mean, those guys are obviously guaranteed.
Well, obviously. They've got series provisionals.
They're series plus the emergencies. I'm sure they still got them. So.
I
on the flip side of Eldora, you see guys starting the back all the time there and can come to the front in a big hurry. And obviously, I'm sure they're doing a 100-lap race.
Wouldn't you shit if Bobby Pierce didn't make the freaking race?
Well, he does.
Could happen. He don't have a provisional. He won the World Outlaws title, by the way. Congrats to him on cleaning house.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably... Well, Huddy won the Castrol race, closed the gap on the points there. Because they got, what, two nights left at Sonoya? Or is it one night, one show?
Yeah, I think so.
It's two nights, but we didn't know if they're doing points the Friday and the Saturday or if they're just doing for the Castro deal. That's a $75,000
deal. I don't care about points, really. I just want to see a good race. And you know you're going to have a good race at Eldora.
I want to know, what are they doing? What's the format? Do you know?
I'm assuming straight up Lucas format.
Yeah, but what's Friday? What are they doing Friday?
I don't know. Heat races? Then they're going to have so many freaking cars that they...
Dirt track championship weekend. What's the 19th?
That was always a two-day event when it was at Portsmouth.
It's a three-day deal. Modified qualifying heats, B-mains, full program for superstocks. Let's go.
That's Friday?
It's Thursday, the 19th. When's the 19th? Is that today?
That'd be tomorrow.
20th, 5,000 to win modified, steel block, qualifying heats, B-mains, Lucas Oil, dirt heats, qualifying heats on the 20th.
Okay. And Saturday night's the
slugfest. They're doing qualifying and heats. So are they doing, they just doing big heats?
I'm sure.
16 car.
Sure.
Does it even say if it's dual? 5 B mains plus the Jim Dunn Memorial Feature, $100,000 to win.
Yeah, and a watermelon for second.
Medical. Well, that's another thing we should talk about too. I don't know if you saw all those posts.
That purse is always extremely top heavy. We got one other thing we need to talk about before we get off here, though, too.
So that's the gist on Eldora. That's all going to be on Flow. Like I said, I got McDowell, Dan's got Moran to win everything, and I got Huddy O'Neill to win the championship.
Big weekend down in Texas this weekend, and it's kind of a sad deal. Devil's Bowl Speedway is shutting her down for good. The World Outlaws are back where it all started back in 1978 for the final deal, and then Devil's Bowl's done.
They're done.
I heard FedEx bought the land.
I guess that's
for a lot of money.
Talking about last night, and I guess they did. I have no idea what.
So Dev, this is a big deal because this was the Devil's Bowl is where the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars started. That was where the inaugural race was back in 1978, when you and I were not even walking around in diapers yet. We were just drooling on ourselves, and. This is also the place that has the Lone Star 600.
Right.
Which is obviously not going to exist there right. anymore. I hope that race continues somewhere else as well. But a lot of these iconic racetracks are evaporating. And at a high rate of speed, corporate dollars are finding this real estate to be very, very valuable to them. Because it's usually larger tracts of land. And there's warehouses and distribution centers and all these other things that are getting put up on these tracks. And unfortunately, this isn't the end of it. This is just it's just the beginning. We're seeing it happen more and more all the time.
It is. So big weekend, 12,000 to win Friday. They threw a bunch more money up on the purse now for Saturday.
It's 20,000 and 23 to win. Yeah, 1978.
Well, it's up to like 28,000 now. Oh, people were chucking money in and doing some stuff. I was reading an article last night. We'll see. Maybe you see Donnie Schatz back in Victory Lane last weekend?
I didn't see any of it.
Put the I don't even know where they're at. I don't know where they're at now. But he actually went backwards right away, and then the bottom came in, and he smoked him.
When the Outlaws leave Grand Forks for the second time in August, I kind of lose track of him. I ain't gonna lie. Was that at Lakeside?
He went to Lakeside. I don't know where it was at. It might have been.
I don't know. It's here nor there, but.
So, yeah, they have they got this weekend left, and then they got another weekend in there, too, before the World Championships, don't they?
No, I think they're off, then it's the World Finals.
So, sprint cars, the USMTS was at, heck, what track were they at last? Arrowhead down in Oklahoma.
I watched some of that. Jason Hughes won.
Jason Hughes
first time in 6 years.
Won 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that Friday night.
17.
Mm-hmm.
Really good race Friday. I watched Fridays. Sanders won. Jake Tim got second. Jeremy Nelson, first podium of the year in the JMR number 4.
He had a podium.
Alexander, Minnesota kid, got
good.
Got third. Yeah, he's had a few fourths this year. That was his first podium of the year, so really good job for him. It was a really good race. He was in the ditch, and Sanders was up top, and he was right there. And then Jake Tim caught Jeremy and got him. And then it was top and 3 and 4 and the bottom of 1 and 2. And Jake Tim, he was all over Sanders. And then Jeremy was right there, too. So it was a really good race. And Jake Tim, 3 straight bridesmaids. He got second every night. So he's got that car rocking.
He should ditch his late model and just focus on his modified because he's really fast in that thing.
Yeah. So he is. So it was actually a pretty good racing, but cool to see Jason Hughes put the smackdown on him and get 2 out of 3.
And when Jason Hughes gets his mojo back, I know he said they've been doing a lot of stuff with their cars. You know, he builds his own cars. And not only just builds his own cars, he builds his own birdcage. I mean, he when they say he builds a race car, Jason Hughes builds a race car.
Well, you know who's getting fast? His kid.
Mm-hmm.
His kid's getting fast. Actually started right behind him. The 1-9 kind of
if those guys catch on to something like they did back in the 2015, 2016, 2017 era, they just might show up and kick everybody's ass on a weekly basis again because he can flat ass drive a race car. When he gets if he gets on to the right thing, look out.
Yep. So they have are they done? I think USMTS is done.
Yeah,
now,
I think
aren't they
are.
But the big USRA show is down in Votto. Is it Votto?
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Yep.
Down in Votto this weekend. I know Sanders is going down there. I know Jake Tim's going down there. So there's going to be a bunch of guys down there at Votto. Speedways, that's a big USRA show. But all eyes are going to be on Eldora. I'm going to see what pans out there. And then you're going to get watch the World Finals, which
I'm not watching the World Finals. I'll be deer hunting.
Kind of anticlimactic that the points are done there with the late models.
World of Outlaws just doesn't do it right. It's not a big paying show. It's
sprint cars could be. He's narrowing it down. Gravel is down to 60. I think 66.
Who's
now.
Leading it?
60 sweet. Gravel's got it down to 63.
It's the same thing that happened last year. They're getting close, and at the end of the deal, it just turned into a blowout. Well, thank our sponsors, and let's get out of here.
Thank our sponsors and get out of here. Shopbeanstalk.com.
She misses us.
She made a video.
She did?
Did you see it?
No.
I don't, I don't know if I can play it on here. I don't. So I don't know. She was mocking. Let me see who she was mocking.
She mocking me?
No, she was mocking.
She's good at that, by the way.
She was mocking. Where's the play button?
Oh, yeah.
So she was getting into the Billium scene, sent us some videos. So thanks to Shop Beanstalk for doing our apparel. Make sure Christmas presents. Great Christmas present to get a Dirt Podcast shirt or hat.
Somebody at your family event might throw shit at you if you show up wearing it. But yeah.
Elevate-visual.com. Get a hold of Brandon. You need some video work done.
Hey, I got an idea.
Oh, no, boy. Oh, boy. We got an idea.
Since we're getting close to the season of giving, wouldn't it be nice of us to send all of the WSOTA board members and employees Dirt Podcast wear for Christmas? Wouldn't that be?
You're gonna have to get that sponsored.
Yeah,
well, tax write off for Kalina Financial Services.
I mean, wouldn't that be nice of us? I mean, give them a free shirt. Let them support the people that are keeping their organization honest all winter.
Christmas cards. We'll just say Christmas. We'll make a little flyer. Say thanks.
Yeah.
And thanks to Team Redline.
Thanks for giving us content.
Team Redline Graphics for our stickers and being our graphic designer, I should say. Thanks to Ryan Flatton. I know he's listening. He's probably, who knows what he's doing. Nobody knows what he does. Do you know what he does?
No freaking clue.
I know what he does. I know what he does, but I don't know what he does. His dad called me yesterday. Old man Flanton called me yesterday.
What's he have, you know, up how his that sleeve? Goes.
Who knows? He's swindling parts out of Napa down there in Benson. Still.
Yeah, whatever works.
Right. Yeah, so that's that. And like I said, we'll be back. We'll be back here weekly until we get through.
It'll be a while.
Until we get through, we'll probably do one more after to wrap up this deal, and then Dan's going hunting. We'll probably do one in there once everything gets wrapped up. Then you have the dome's in December, and then you kind of get slowed down. So we'll definitely take.
We only got room for two more, Jeff, before the first of the year.
What's wrong with that?
Because we got to pick our spots. We got 29 to 30 after this, and we still got 2 months left. So. Because we set the precedent that we did 20 episodes in year season one, so we got to stick with 30 episodes for season two as well.
We'll do it. We'll be fine.
So we got two more. So if you have any, since there's not a lot of racing to talk about, if you have any good dirt or if you want to chuck some stones, feel free to hit the inbox.
I got a, I got one for you. You going to come to the RCC tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Let me think about that. It's Thursday. Got to take the old, what time do I got to be at the RCC tomorrow?
Well, if you want to watch Blizzard practice, that's at 10. We have a special guest coming to town to practice afterward.
Who's that?
Take a wild guess who's going to come. It's not the wild. Take a guess who's going to come practice at the RCC tomorrow night after Blizzard practice.
Not a freaking clue.
The Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Why?
The men's hot. They're on their way up to North Dakota. They're going to stop. Practice, head up to North Dakota, get settled in. So Mr. Nice Guy here, I moved my Blizzard practice for my buddy Bob Motzko. So the Gophers can come up and practice at noon.
I won't be there. Not nothing against watching the Gophers, but I got to have the old Explorer down at John Weese Ford for an oil change.
Yeah, I'm sure.
My wife would ever let that thing cool off. You know, I wouldn't have to get the oil changed so often.
So that'd be cool. They're coming up. That'd be cool to watch. We've had Waterloo Blackhawks to come here and practice a couple times. When they were heading over to Fargo, I knew their head coach, and they always called and stayed. We put them up in hotels and did some cool stuff for them. So that was always cool to watch a USHL team come here. But, yeah, it's crazy. Old Matt walked in my office Monday and said, hey, move your practice. I'm like, tell Bob Motzko I'm not moving nothing.
Yeah,
he could practice around the Blizzard. That's how stuff works around here. So, no, that'd be cool to watch them. But other than that, we're on the road this weekend for hockey. Back home in a couple weeks, and then we're off for 2 weeks. We don't we don't play deer and deer hunting.
Smart.
You got to get out of Dodge. So
smart.
Any last words of wisdom, comments, concerns?
No.
Go Devin Moran. That's bold. That's a bold prediction, Dan.
Oh, he's gonna win. He's gonna win.
They're all gonna wad up. I just want to see.
They could all wad up for that kind of money.
They all could wad up.
You could have a freaking pile up like last weekend.
I hear you. Well, for my co-host Dan, for Elevate-Visual Brandon on production, I'm Jeff, and we will see everybody on the flip side.